Shalom. This is Nitza Moshe from Remnant Remedy, hosting today's Remnant Mama Show, where we are living and learning a restoration lifestyle. This week, I will be with Posey Salem, and we will be discussing Hanukkah. One of the first things we're going to discuss tonight is, should we or shouldn't we observe or remember or celebrate Hanukkah? First of all, my disclaimer is, you need to do as your husband says. And we're not into going against your husband. We realize that in the Ephraimite Israel community, there are a lot more believers who choose not to do Hanukkah because it is not a Moedim. It's not a commanded Moedim. However, in the Messianic communities or Messianic Jewish communities, it seems that everyone, for the most part, does celebrate it. And they've actually never heard of anyone that doesn't celebrate it that claims to be Hebrew or Messianic. Maybe one day I'll change and my husband will change why we do or do not observe it. We call Hanukkah and Purim the days of remembrance. And we believe that from the book of Esther and from the book of Maccabees that there is a commandment in the scriptures to remember over 300 and something times. And so when we look at these two books, and we look at them as historical documents and or scripture, we believe that they have a lot for us to learn from, mostly to be obedient to Yahweh and to the Torah, the light of the world, and that that obedience will bring victory. And throughout all of scripture, and even in a lot of the Apocrypha books, say like Judith, Maccabees, that it is often mentioned that the only reason or the only time that Israel's enemies can overcome them is when they are living not in obedience to his Torah. And that is the only way that someone can come against him. And so the whole thing about restoration is about we are returning to the Torah. We're returning to the commandments. We are doing a teshuvah back to Yahweh, back to the ancient path, back to the ways so that he will want to again dwell within his people, which are his living stones tabernacle. Welcome with me tonight is Posey. Are you there?
Yes, I am. Shalom.
Shalom. And so you and I have a lot to discuss tonight, don't we? Do you have any more disclaimers to put in there? Because we don't want people to celebrate this if they do not feel that they should.
Oh, I absolutely agree. I just think that even with, like I said with when I did the other shows about the Moedim, the keeping of the feasts, that we're just going to be throwing out a variety of ideas and suggestions. Some may appeal to you, some may not. You just take what you feel the Lord wants you to do, and if you feel led of Abba to not observe, then that's what you go with. This is a progressive walk. I was just talking to someone this morning on the phone, and that's what I shared with her, that this journey that we are all on is a progressive thing. And the things that Avi and I believed or things that we did when we first came into this, Abba has tweaked over the years. You know, we learn more, we get more information, we discover that, oops, oh, maybe something that we started out doing has lots of paganness to it, and so we let go of that. And he just refines the process as we go along. That's provided we're willing to make those changes as he's leading and guiding us. This is one of those feasts, like you said, that it's not commanded, but we do see a valid purpose for remembering. I just encourage you, like Nitza, to seek Father and talk with your spouse or your wife, because there are remnant papas that listen to this show as well. You know, talk about it amongst yourselves and pray and see what Father would have you to do this year, and just know that, you know, he may change that next year or the year after if we're all still here. We just all need to be flexible and keep an open mind and hear what he has to say to us and just be willing to do it.
Right. And I think the main thing is to walk forward in love.
Yes, I agree.
And just, you know, for a lot of Ephraimite or those who come into Israel that find out that they are physically, we would have said Jewish in the past, but now we will say Israelites, because we define Jewish by being from the tribe of Judah. And so what we have in what I call the Israel Ephraimite movement, those that were not raised in a Jewish community or converted, that we many times find out that we did have Jewish ancestors, but then again, we didn't really know what tribe they were from, so we can't really claim that they're Jewish, which is, like, for instance, my case. But even if we're Gentiles, whatever we do when we come into the covenant with the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, that what most of us have done, especially those who have been in this walk for a long time, more than, say, the last 5 years, more, and, you know, for us, it's been about almost 18 years, we came in when there weren't a lot of us. And we came on the heels of the Messianic Jewish movement, where a lot of Jews were being saved and accepting the Messiah and the renewed covenant. Note that we don't call it the New Testament or the New Covenant, because it was a renewed covenant based on the foundation of the old. So what a lot of us did when we first came into this walk is we didn't know anything and we didn't have anywhere to go. So we went to the Jewish community, even if they weren't Messianic. And so we were learning the Jewish rabbinical ways to do the feast or celebrations or Sabbaths. And then what would happen is, one of the things that happened to us is, the more we studied the scriptures, the more we read it in Hebrew, the more we started questioning, why do we do things this way? And then we realized there was a difference between rabbinical Judaism versus scriptural things. And so a lot of things have changed over the years for a lot of us. And Hanukkah may be one of them, the way you do Sabbath, way or Shabbat, the way you light the candles. I mean, there's so many things. Maybe the way you observe the Sabbath and the calendar you use. And so this is the reason why, and we've all found, I think, that the more we learn, the more we restore the pure language and walk towards the light of Torah and Yahweh's word, the more we are progressing. And I just come from the avenue that I want to bear witness with my Christian brothers and sisters. I want to bear witness with my Jewish brothers and sisters. I want to bear witness with the Messianic Jews and all of those who consider themselves in covenant with the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and not get bogged down with our doctrines and what we do different. But why do we do that? Learn from each other, love and respect each other, and walk in that in love, and each of us do what we are called with our conscience before Yahweh. And I think the other problem is, for a lot of those who choose not to do Hanukkah, I personally think this is one of those places where I want to step over to the Judah side, of the Jewish side, and say, you guys understand what culture is. You really understand what you are as a people. Whether or not you know that you are from the tribe of Judah or not, you know that you belong. You have a history. You have a bonding. Whereas we as Ephraimites, or those who have come in that may even be Judah but didn't know it, we don't have in our blood, in our family history, in our feelings, in our emotions, the way we were raised, that cultural, national connection. And so I think a lot of times we judge or get a little harsh on what we would call Jewish or rabbinical Judaism. And I think Hanukkah is one of these categories. And so when I read the scriptures, and then I read the book of Maccabees, which in some cases is part of the scriptures, or very much, in my opinion, confirms the Torah and the scriptures, I see so much good and so much prophecy and so much to learn from. And one of the things that I really hope to cover in this is, I want to give honor that is due to our brothers, and particularly our sisters, who died during this time period because they loved Yahweh and they obeyed his commandments and they went through some horrible, torturous things. I want to identify with them. I want to be able to be faithful like they were, and I want to bring this up with a somber attitude with my family and especially my children, that when times get really tough and we're entering in the time and the age in the world today, whether you're a Christian or a Jew or a Messianic Jew, that if you believe in Yahweh and you want to follow him and you want to follow his spirit and his Torah and walk in covenant with him, you are going to be persecuted. And I personally believe that this persecution that we see now, and that's going to mushroom for all of his people that are born again with his spirit, with the persecution that's coming, we will get over our petty differences, we will love each other, and it will take out the wrinkles so that we become echad, or one in unity. Ms. Posey, do you have anything to go from there?
No, I think you just about said it.
Okay.
Well, this is going to be a series of programs, and so we're going to start, and first we're going to tackle that subject, why we choose to keep Hanukkah, And there's plenty of other teachers out there who are giving you their opinion of why they don't. And so we're going to give why we do. But we also want to share, for those of you who are interested in keeping it, are new and don't know what to do, or are looking for some new ideas, we're going to share how each of our families do it, how we've progressed from the beginning till today. And then in future shows surrounding the topic of Hanukkah, we are actually going, Nitza and I are going to be reading this story from the book of Maccabees and inserting our thoughts and some of the things that, you know, the Lord's showing us or what have you in regard to that story, because we've come to realize that there are a number of people that have never actually read the story in the book of Maccabees, and it gets to be a busy time of year, or you don't have time to read it. So you're going to be able to hear it being read to you. And so, like I said, there's going to be a number of shows. We can't tell you how many because we're just beginning to do the recording, but stay with us because we're going to share ideas for how to observe and celebrate, and then you're going to hear the story right from Maccabees.
So the important thing for me when me and my family, when we look at Hanukkah or say Purim, for instance, even with Passover and Sukkot, we want to look at the past. We want to look back with the commandment of Zakar and remember what Yahweh has done. Look at the present and look at the future, because it's about what he says he will do also. And so for us, Hanukkah is about the past, present, and future, and the prophetic fulfillment and how we see this in Scripture. I personally believe that it will literally come around again in a cycle, that on the same day, on the same month, that we will have an abomination of desolation on the Temple Mount. And that would have to be on Yahweh's calendar, where he numbers his days and his months. And so that is one of the main reasons it's important for me, because I think there's a lot to learn and a lot for us to go forward in looking when once we have looked back. Please stay tuned, and we'll come right back after this short break. Have you been wanting to make a 100% flax linen garment or linen sheets for you and your family? Have you wanted to make a pure, unmixed, set-apart garment? Remnant Remedy is excited to now be able to offer 100% flax linen thread on spools for sewing machines. This thread is also great for hand sewing or embroidery. There are 24 colors to choose from, including white and blue bonnet, which will give you a beautiful and noble contrast on your white linen garment sheets or towels. Remnant Remedy will automatically send you one free spool for every 10 spools that you purchase. Just note on your order what color you would like. For more information, go to the Hebrew Nation radio store and click on Remnant Remedy. Remember, your purchase helps support this radio station ministry. Welcome back to the Remnant Mama Show, as Posey Salem and I discuss why we think it's important to remember Hanukkah. And one of the things that I found that when I actually read the book of Maccabees is I don't find anywhere in there anything about the miracle of the lights burning. But what I did find from understanding Torah and the Moedim, or the appointments or feasts, is that I believe that when they went back into the temple and rededicated it, it was a delayed Sukkot. Sukkot is 8 days, and so is Hanukkah, or the rededication of the temple. And we need to also look at this in the idea that the last Hanukkah of the Maccabees was a rededication of the physical temple in Jerusalem. I believe the next dedication will be a culmination and the ultimation of rededicating us, our bodies, our living stones, as his temple. And so this is what we're progressing to. We're cleaning out our temples. And one day there's going to be a cycling back around for that, for us to be rededicated to him and to live together.
First of all, for people who are unfamiliar, that word Hanukkah, it actually means dedication. And so the other name for Hanukkah is the Feast of Dedication. And so what were they dedicating? What was the big dedication about? It was about a temple that was desecrated, and we'll talk more about that in a little bit. But the temple was desecrated by the Greeks, and they set up idols and sacrificed unclean animals. And when the Israelites were able to regain the temple back, it needed to be cleaned out. It needed to be purified and cleansed the way that Yahweh specified, and then they needed to rededicate it. So that is the rededication that is being talked about. And a number of things took place in the whole story that will unfold, but Nitza mentioned about not focusing on the miracle of the light or of the oil. And you might be familiar that that's part of the traditional Hanukkah story, was that there was this vial of oil for the menorah in the temple that they found. And when they used it in the lamp, it was only enough oil to burn for one day, but miracle of miracles, so the story goes, it lasted for the 8 days while they were able to make and set apart additional oil to keep the lamp so that it would continually burn. Well, I knew all that growing up. As if you've listened to my shows, you know that I grew up, I had Jewish friends, and so I was familiar with some of these observances. And so when Avi and I came into this journey, this Torah journey, we did what we knew, you know, and so we observed Hanukkah that same way, with the focusing on the miracle, the oil and the light, and so excited. And I can tell you honestly, the day I read Maccabees for myself and discovered, horror of horrors, that bit about the miracle of the oil was not in there, I was flabbergasted. I was like, what? Like, where'd it go? Who took it out? It didn't occur to me that it wasn't there to begin with. That set us about researching what was truth and what was not. And so then the next year we had to tweak what we do. We changed how we observed Hanukkah somewhat. And like you, Nitza, we, our family, we don't focus on that oil part of the story. We don't talk about it because it didn't happen. It was something that was added to later. But there were other miracles that took place, that really took place in this story. And so some of the things that come to my mind when observing Hanukkah is that it's a time to remember the provision of Yahweh and to rejoice in that. It's a time of rededication of our spiritual temples, who we are, rededicating ourselves to Yahweh. And I know that we've just come through that time of teshuvah and repentance and sort of rededication in the fall, with the fall feast time. But this focus is just slightly different. And it's a time to celebrate the light of Yeshua and that we are called to be light. So there's still a place for that concept of the light. And there's still a place for the concept of miracles, because Yahweh did provide some miracles in this story of Hanukkah outside of the addition of that miracle of the oil that we do not find in the book of Maccabees.
Yes, and I personally find it that it was a miracle that these people that chose to follow Yahweh were faithful in the face of death. And even though many of the Jews or the Israelites were falling away because they didn't want to die and they didn't want to be persecuted. And again, in those days, they had brothers and sisters and family coming against them, just like Yeshua has prophesied will happen in the age to come in the last days. And we had these heroes that would not even pretend to eat pork because they understood that it defiled the temple. It defiled their body, which was the temple. And that's something that we don't get. I don't think that, at least for me personally, growing up in America and growing up as a Christian instead of a Jew, and having that history, you know, removed from me, that if someone told me or was torturing me or my family, I might pretend to eat pork. And I remember reading Maccabees years ago and thinking, I just don't get it. I mean, I would hope that I would be faithful, but what is it about that, you know, that they got that we didn't get, that they were willing to die from? And only now, since I've been doing research on oil and light and linen, that I get it, that eating pork is just like Yeshua or Yahweh coming in to his house and seeing that his wife is being unfaithful and committing adultery. That's what it means to him because he gave us these rules and his laws on how to be holy, and his house is to be holy, and we are his house because his spirit dwells within us. We had women who, because they circumcised their children, they killed their babies and hung them from their neck. We have Hannah who had 7 sons, and every one of them were tortured and watched their other brothers die down to the very last one. And all I have to say when we get to that part, when we read through this, is, oh, how it would be that any of us women who are raising our children to serve the living God, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, how blessed that we would be that we would have even one child who would be faithful even unto death to obey Yahweh and to follow his commandments. And I think this is where honor needs to be given, and that we need to take a really good look at what we say and what we do and how we do it when we say that we are or are not going to remember this time of the year our brothers and sisters in the covenant when it comes to Hanukkah or the rededication of the lights or the tabernacle.
I agree. To me, this is such a picture of the days ahead and a reminder that we need to remain faithful, because what will happen here to us is a temporal thing. You know, it's just a moment in eternity, really. And the things that will come after are far more important and far more weighty than what we're going through. Although I agree with you, I don't know how I would react, you know, if these things were actually happening to me and to my children, to my family. I don't know. I would hope that I would remain faithful, but I have never been through that situation, so I can't say with 100% certainty and be ultra confident when I really have no idea. But I pray that Yahweh would help me and that all of us in my family would remain faithful no matter what. It is a prayer of mine, and I'm sure it is to our listeners, that when they think about these things, they're praying about the same thing as are you, that we would all be able to remain faithful no matter what, no matter what the cost. This story is a historical story, just like the story of Esther. So it's not, we're not focusing on any myth or legend. We're focusing on, just like in the works of Josephus, when you and I were talking about this before we started to do the show, you brought up about the works of Josephus. And, you know, lots of Torah teachers are, you know, will refer to that, those historical documents. Well, that's what these are too. So we both feel that there's a valid place for remembering these events and for observing Hanukkah in some regard.
And I would say that we would focus on the fact that it was a miracle that they were faithful and they were able to overcome by their faithfulness, and they were able to regain, because of their faithfulness, the Temple Mount, the temple, the land, and they were again able to obey Yahweh's commandments to go up into the tabernacle to Jerusalem for the 3 pilgrimages. I think the fact that they overcame that, and then, you know, because if they didn't fight it, then they wouldn't have been able to be faithful. They wouldn't have been able to go up to Jerusalem. They wouldn't have been able to go up to the Temple Mount and celebrate those moedims, those appointments. And so I think it's important for us to remember that though there may not have been a real miracle that has been propagated about the oil in the lamp, whether that's true or not, it's not recorded in the Maccabees books, but it is a miracle that they were faithful and they overcame. And I think that we can clearly see that in the future and in the scriptures, that's exactly what Israel is going to have to do again.
Amen, sister. Well, we thank you for being with us for this first part of our Hanukkah series, and we really encourage you to come back and keep listening. We're going to discuss ways to keep and observe Hanukkah with your family and your friends, and then we'll be getting into reading of the story out of Maccabees and give you some commentary.
And in the show that we cover on lessons we can learn from Maccabees, we will take a look at our heroines, the mothers of children who were circumcised, and Hannah, who had 7 sons that all went out faithfully, including her, after being tortured. They declared the resurrection and the faithfulness to the living God, Yahuwah. Amen.
So until next time, Ahava and Shalom.
Shalom. May your garments always be white, and let your head lack no shimmin.
She bends her heart to your ways. When she hears of disaster, she is not scared.